sunny. Look for a high today, 92, clear 67 tonight, 92 sunny tomorrow, 93 Wednesday, 94 Thursday. Still, that's a little cooler than they had originally forecast. They've been talking about 95 for the entire week. And at one point, they didn't say a word about wet weather either. And then we had that surprise yesterday afternoon and early evening. Welcome surprise, except for the damage, of course. And that prospect returns the forecast. Slight chance after midnight Thursday, grows Friday to a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high merely 90. Forecast brought to you by your friends at the Giant Sea Lodge. Follow them on Facebook to learn how you can help support ALS, amyotrophic sclerosis. News Radio WJPF is coming up this morning and joined by State Representative David Severn. David, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. Good morning.
Been staying out of trouble?
Trying to.
Yeah, it's no fun. Jim Edgar passing. Pancreatic cancer. Lost a couple of really good friends to pancreatic cancer, and now a former governor, two-term governor,
yeah,
a Republican governor.
Yes, sir. You know, I met him when I was on the school board. Actually, he flew the Illinois helicopter. We landed at Washington School in Benton. We were having some problems with that school, and so that's how I met him and his wife, Brenda. And then later, being in charge of Special Olympics for Southern Illinois, I met her. She actually served on the Illinois Special Olympics board. So that's kind of how I met them. And then with the Edgar Fellows, so sure hate to hear the passing of her former governor. But
you and I know a lot of people that are Edgar Fellows.
Yes, sir. Yep.
We do.
There's a lot of people here in Southern Illinois that have participated, and it's a good program.
Just got a confirmation that Mike Lawrence is going to be joining us on that subject Wednesday at 7:20, of course, working with the Ryan administration.
That'd be good.
So here's the thing, which I think Jim Edgar's passing gives us an opportunity to talk about the things that he thought were priority. Republican governor. And what is he one of the first things the media brings up and talks about him? Caps on property tax. Talk about an idea. Now, his administration from 1991 to 1999, and here he is suggesting a cap on property taxes. What a novel idea.
Yeah, it's didn't just happen yesterday as far as coming up with the idea, and it's something we've got to address as far as, you know, when I get phone calls, when I go and talk to people, it's utilities and taxes. That's the thing that people want to talk about. So we've got to address these things and the costs that we have, and how can we help people so we give them an opportunity to stay in Illinois and not want to leave.
Now, the idea that he had, so I think it was either 2 or 5% rate of inflation, or 2% maybe, or whichever one was lower. And that idea took off in Cook County. Well, that's not on there anymore because they're gouging people. Jackson County has seen some substantial, in some cases, double property taxes. It was caught on a few places, and they adopted it, not because of the law, because it was a good idea, and other counties totally ignore it.
Exactly right. Again, it's, you know, people are struggling trying to figure out how are they going to pay their bills, and property tax, it's not going away. We've got to find a way to give people an opportunity again to stay here. Are they going to pay their taxes? Are they going to pay their utilities? Are they going to pay their insurance bills? Are they going to pay for their food bills, food costs? Everything is going up, so we've got to address these things, Tom, so not just keep talking about them.
Now, another issue.
Yes, sir.
I know it's there. I can't qualify it. The Charlie Kirk effect is what I'm going to call it. I know it's there. I just don't know its effect. Do you feel it, too? Do you see it?
Absolutely. You know, I was just sharing with you before we came on the air that, you know, when it first was elected, you know, people as far as following me on Facebook and the Internet, those kinds of things, when we would post something positive, people would post positive things along with it. Now, when we post something positive, there is amazing the responses and the posts that are made that have nothing to do with that subject, and all this negativity and the anger and rage that you just sense from people. And it's very concerning, and it's not just on the national level, state level, local level. It's something, you know, I was glad to see last night in Marion, they had a prayer vigil on the square. There were several hundred people there. There was one in Albion on Saturday evening. There's going to be one tonight in Benton. There's one coming up in Carmi this coming weekend. So people are very concerned, but back to your question, times are changing. You sense it.
When would you see some case where over 30 people are baptized on the square in Marion?
Yeah,
is the last number I saw. I think there were still people waiting to be baptized.
That's exactly right. I watched it.
When do you ever remember 30 people being baptized on the square any Southern Illinois town?
Never in my entire life. And
I can't remember of a single incident.
Exactly right. So, you know, it's people are waking up to the fact that the beliefs that they have, they've got to stand up for those and share those with other people. And there's a line being drawn in the sand, Tom, as far as for what is right. And today is the day to stand for what you believe for and not just talk about it, but actually to live that on a daily basis.
It was already happening, I think, before there was an emptiness. The reason why I mention this is some of the people I know who are quite a bit younger than I am, and not the kind of people that I thought would ever go to church. Now they go every Sunday.
Right.
And that's only if they didn't go on Wednesday. And maybe they go Wednesday and Sunday. You know, I see it more and more. Sometimes it's a reaction to drug abuse or alcohol abuse.
Sure.
And others just feel like that something's not right.
Right.
And they're looking for something. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for more. And they always feel, and I'm glad they are, feel very happy to talk to me about it. And free to talk to me about it, but I think there was something that pre-existed, and when this event came in, it filled it, and maybe some people will consider it a calling. Others will not. The comments made by the governor, even before Charlie Kirk's death and some other shootings, and then more recently Trump January 6th insurrectionist caused it, have led the Freedom Caucus to introduce impeachment articles the end of last week.
Yeah, it was interesting to see them do that, and I will tell you that it's very concerning times. The things that the governor brought up in his State of the State speech back in January, and since then, the comments that he has made, the Freedom Caucus has brought attention to those comments and those stances that he has made, and so it's again, we're in some trying times, and we've got to make sure that we stand for righteousness. And you know, something I wanted to go back to you just for a minute, as far as church attendance, celebrate recovery programs throughout Southern Illinois, people that are going to reach out to others to get help, and that's important. A lot of times people, they hear about something that someone's having some trouble with, and you say, well, I feel sorry for them, whatever. There are actually programs now to help people. And so, again, you're talking about the baptisms on the square and attendance in church and people reaching out that need help and people that are able to help others being accessible and being available. That is so important. And so, again, I appreciate that. And again, we're in some trying times, and we've got to stand for what's right.
Miser just texted on the American Monument text line, the devil's out there. Charlie's death opened people's eyes. We are Charlie. Something I saw quite a bit of over the weekend and some of the other vigils as well. Now, if this was anybody else, Dave, I wouldn't do this but you. So the October session's coming up.
Right.
And I'm doing homework in the afternoon. You know, sometimes I call you.
Right.
I'm doing homework. I spend a couple of hours every afternoon doing the things that we talk about in the morning. And so this was either Thursday or Friday last week. I'm going through a place where they congregate a lot of different news sources, and the headline is energy bill will address data centers in next session. The thing is, I saw there was an energy bill, and my first response was, oh God, please no, because I can't take any more help from you guys. I hope there's no energy bill. Please no, because I don't trust you. No, we can't take any more. Don't help me any more. You understand my sentiment.
Oh, I understand completely. In fact, this Senate Bill 40 that we're going to now talk about, as far as there's actually a hearing on the 18th at 10:30 in the Senate, and Senator Bryant, she's the minority spokesperson for that committee on energy and public utilities. But this Senate Bill 40 that we got shut down, as far as in this last session, that didn't get called in committee, didn't make it to the House floor, the Senate floor, that bill is going to be brought back up again. In this Senate hearing, we'll find out just what they're going to try to do. That's this week. And then next week, we're hearing there's going to be a House hearing on this bill. Jay Hoffman has supposedly filed a House bill to this Senate Bill 40. And what it's going to address, we believe, is a lot of the solar things that the federal has taken away as
subsidies.
Far as
exactly
subsidies, right, those
yeah.
subsidies and credits that they're going to address that on a state level. So you know what that means? That means it's going to affect us as far as ratepayers in the state of Illinois. So it's very, very concerning. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. We'll find out 10:30. You can go to ilga.gov, and you can follow that hearing, I believe, live right on that website, ilga.gov. You can follow that. It's the hearing on energy and public utilities at 10:30 on the 18th.
Yeah, one of the items in this energy bill is nukes, too.
Absolutely. So there's been a moratorium on those. And so but the concerning thing about nukes is that I had a meeting in Representative McCombie's office with some people, the leaders of nuclear energy in the United States. We met with them in May, and they said, it's a great idea for us to bring nuclear energy to Illinois. The challenge is it's 5 to 7 years to build up something. So it isn't something you
now,
just...
Now, there is an existing nuclear facility that was built to have a second reactor, and that maybe that would allow them to do that, build on.
That is correct. But as far as the time, it isn't like dominoes where you call and say, hey, I'd like to have a nuclear reactor built in 30 minutes. The procurement.
Then the state's got to certify it and then monitor it, then all that. And so they'll do everything they can to delay it, too.
Absolutely.
It's just bureaucracy.
That's exactly right.
By the way, people constantly texting about Charlie Kirk.
Yes, sir.
While we're on the air. And I like Lee's text. I think you'll like it, too. Strive to be a kinder individual. I'm really going to try. I know Lee well enough to know he means what he say. I'm going to try to be a better person. If that motivates you, that other people like myself, I'm just mad.
Yep, I hear you. You know, I have two grandsons, 14 and 18-year-old, and I didn't realize they both watch Charlie Kirk. In fact, my 14-year-old grandson, he's a freshman. He was up till 11 o'clock the night before that he was assassinated. Brody was up till 11 watching Charlie. And so I didn't even know that these right. young people are watching, and that's what he has done. I got goosebumps thinking about it. He has ignited the Generation Z. These kids, he's ignited interest in hope, faith, family, love for America. And so I believe that, and we're seeing it since the day that he was assassinated, as far as it's waking up people to realize I've got to stand up for what I believe for. I've got to share in my community where I'm at. I got to be the person I'm supposed to be.
Well, we're starting to see the candidates start to stack up on the gubernatorial side. I don't know, stack up's probably not the right word. I don't think that, but we're seeing it. I mean, expecting Darren Bailey to make an announcement. I talked to Ted Dabrowski Thursday night. He called me. He says, man, I'm going to make it official tomorrow. So he made his announcement
right.
on Friday. Anybody else out there on that list?
Well, you know, of course, you have the sheriff from Peoria.
Oh, that's right.
So, and then Darren and Aaron Delmar will be announcing soon. And so,
Who is Dabrowski's VP candidate? Doctor.
Yep, she's from Chicago. Last name is Mendoza, I believe, and she's a physician from Chicago.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting race. So we'll see what happens.
So what do you think? Well, you got a thought on this?
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Ted brings a really conservative mix to the
primary.
Numbers and of course,
guy.
Exactly right. And so. And, of course, we know where Darren is and where he stands, and Aaron Del Mar, who is his running mate. So we'll see how those two work together, and so it's going to be interesting.
Mike texted us, and we were talking about sales tax. It says, sales tax, state sales tax to replace local property taxes. I think that was a good bit. Appreciate that, Mike. Just looking at some of the other ones this morning, saying, I wonder if Carbondale will do anything for Charlie Kirk.
I hear that there's supposed to possibly be something at Carbondale or at SIU for Charlie Kirk.
Good. Before I let you go, it was a 1-2 punch. Thursday, Charlie. Friday, 9/11. You know, right. It's interesting because, you know, you weren't a state rep. But, you know, you kind of started seeing your early inklings of where you were going back on 9/11,
right?
24 years ago. Matter of fact, it's an interesting story of David Severin and the American flag.
Yeah, let me tell you this quick story, Tom. So here's what happened on 9/12, the day after 9/11. I get a phone call from the athletic director at Don Smith at Benton High School, and I own a sporting goods store. We sell a lot of different things, and we sell American flags. So he called and he said, we're going to have a home football game on Friday night. He said, I need some flags that we're going to put around the flagpole for each one of the players, 20 players from Benton, 20 from the opposing team to put around the flagpole. He said, do you have any flags? I said, I don't have any in stock. I said, but I'll make a phone call. So I hang up, call my flag distributor in St. Louis, and I said, this is on Wednesday now, 24 hours after this has happened, 9/11. I said, do you have any flags in stock? And they said, sir, it's only been 24 hours, but we are already out of stock of flags, any type, any size. I said, okay, are there any other vendors? I called a couple others. No flags available. So I called Coach back, and I said, Don, I said, unfortunately, I cannot get you any flags. So he said, okay, thanks for trying. We hang up the phone. About 20 or 30 minutes later, my mother calls me, and she says, David? I said, yeah, Mom. Now, there's only two people that call me David. Tom, you, and
yeah,
my mother.
I know.
And my mother's in heaven now, but she says, do you need any flags? I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I was going through Dad's closet. My father passed away on July the 2nd, 2001. He was a World War II veteran. And so she said, I was going through Dad's closet, and I found two packages of some flags. I said, well, how many you think are there? She said, oh, about 40. I said, I'll be right there. Hang up the phone. I drive 9 blocks to the Mom and Dad's house. I get these two packages of these flags, and so I grab them, jump in the car, drive to the athletic director's office to Don, and I said, Don, you're not going to believe this. My mom has two packages of flags. There's 40 of them. And so we get looking at them, and so I put them on his desk, and he says, Severin? I said, yeah. He said, look at the date. The date these flags were shipped to my father was September the 11th, 1970, 31 years before, and they were sitting in the closet, never used. And so then we looked to see where they were shipped from. They were mailed from the Bronx, New York, 2 blocks from where the Twin Towers were. So then we got to looking even further, and he said, Dave, he said, look at where it was mailed to. They were mailed to Reverend George Severin, my father, 337 South Main Street in Benton. That is the house that the athletic director was living in at the time. He was living in my mom and dad's house. And so these flags had been sitting in the closet for 31 years, had never been opened, and the exact number that we needed. And so here they were. And so we used those that night, and then I put them back in the container. And so actually, Jim Muir did an article with the Southern. Stephen D.C. did a national radio thing. Channel 3 did an article on it. And so, Tom, what I've done is I put them back in the package. But anytime I give an opportunity to tell the story, I give that individual or that group a flag. So before I leave today, you're going to get one of those flags.
Oh,
and I found out,
I'm not sure I deserve that.
Well, I found out that they're actually,
pretty sure I don't,
that they're burial flags. My father purchased those for the purpose of that. And I'll finish the story here, was that we had Severin Nursing Home, and we had residents that were veterans. He would actually had those flags that he was going to use those for their funeral. But they actually sat in the closet for 31 years. Had my mom not made that call, Tom, and said, hey, David, do you need some flags? We would have never known about them. That's the story about the flags from 9/11.
News Radio WJPF, David Severin. I'm in good company. If I'm the only person who calls you David besides your mom, News Radio WJPF 842.
All right, you get one of these.